This is The Financial Coconut, Singapore's first personal finance podcast network. And I'm Timothy Mazier, editor-in-chief of Blockhead. Join me and the crew on our weekly Friday segment as we filter out the noise in the crypto space and keep you updated on the ideas that actually matter. This is Blockcast.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to another episode of Blockcast. I'm your host, Reggie, aka your chief financial coconut.
Hi, I'm Mark, and the founder and CEO of Blockhead.
And this is Tim, managing editor here at Blockhead.
Tim, very happy today, huh?
I'm usually very happy, but
you know, you're a fine line between happy and high.
Not, and tired lah.
Tired.
Just be very careful when you say hi nowadays.
This day is very sensitive.
You know, yesterday, what happened, right?
What happened yesterday?
No, they hang a guy for like, you know.
Oh shit, okay. Yeah. We don't go
high, high as in happy in life, you know.
Yeah. So, playing the kid, everything, you know, like all that jazz, right? So daddy moment. So
it's great, it's great. Market,
yeah, well, the market very high recently, right? So before we begin on the main story, so Tether just made back, right? It's all its market cap, right? So I think that's an interesting moment. Anybody any thoughts? This is not our main story, but we just slide it in. Anybody any thoughts around this?
Cool. Great.
Hey, everyone's trying to figure out which is the stable coin, right?
You're just
moving back and forth between like USDT, okay, look,
let's just talk about that scary moment, right? Like after like Celsius temporarily halted all withdrawals, okay? Mm-hmm. So like the USDT depegged like at that time. I think that was the most recent one. So then that really unsettled everybody, because then we had, the community is essentially wondering whether USDT was going the way of UST. Mm. But I guess, we're here now and it's not. So yeah, that's cool.
I mean, it's competitors like USDC. I mean, they've also been like in a lot of trouble lately, as well as now the BUSD, right? Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it is what it is. We will keep observing. Maybe it's time we move away from stable coins, right? Maybe stable coins aren't that stable. Well, that's an investigative piece, right? So that is for another time, right?
Investigative piss, yes.
Okay, guys, we're shitting on this a bit too much, Yeah, but today we have three interesting stories for all of you. Maybe not totally a crypto thing, you know, but it has definitely has impact in the crypto space. So I'm gonna roll with the first story, right? Singapore's rental market grows massively, and it has become a barrier of entry for crypto entrepreneurs, right? And which sometimes I ask, so if they don't come here, does it affect us? That's a different discussion. But yeah, SG rental market prices have gone up at least 30%. Some reports say it's 40-50%, and here there's a special note that say Cohen say it's 65%. So Cohen is the co-founder of Blockhead, and he has some personal experience. 65%, it's quite nuts, right? So especially with a lot of SG regulators giving crypto the cold shower.
I think he's renting at pretty near the CBD, and like it's a one room flat studio. I think is it studio?
Yeah.
I think he's paying like $2.8k a month. Was paying $2.8k.
Yeah.
So 65% on top of that, that'll be at least $4k plus. Damn, man.
Damn, that is crazy. But the idea here is, property prices keep moving up, and the lack of clarity with SG regulators in the space is turning entrepreneurs away from Singapore overall, right? So, what do y'all think? Like, is the rental market really that impactful? Like, is it affecting the people?
I mean, okay, we're talking about this because we saw a story this week. It's in Chinese, obviously Google Translate lah. The story was in China Entrepreneur. They spoke to several Chinese crypto entrepreneurs who came to Singapore and then subsequently left. And they all complain about rising rentals.
What did they say? I thought Chinese Web3 should be doing fine.
Actually, there are two groups of Chinese Web3 entrepreneurs, at least from my observation, when we can talk about that in a second. But I guess these guys, like this group that was cited in China Entrepreneur, they saw Singapore as a place to, I guess, raise funds, build whatever. They all left within a year, six months to a year. One of them said his rent increased by $5,000. The second price increased in only 6 months that he was here. And then another one said the Web3 environment is better, but cost of living is 1.5 times that of Shanghai and Beijing. So these are like, yeah, startup founders, one group of them. But then there's another group where these big Chinese firms that moving their operations here wholesale, I mean, anecdotally, they look for GCBs, huge properties for their founders and to base their whole teams. We know of such companies who rent GCBs in Bukit Timah, base all their staff there.
Specifically Cluny Road.
Hey, those are specific, say. Those are specific.
Come on. There are many houses along Cluny Road, guys. Yeah, let's see which one.
We're gonna go there. Right.
But even the rank and file, junior staff, live in these properties along with the senior.
Would you wanna, if you think about it, right? Like, would you wanna live in the same house as your boss, man? No fucking way, dude. Even if it's a goddamn GCB, right? With a freaking tiger in there or whatever, like Mike Tyson, right? There's no fucking way I wanna stay there, dude.
But this is you watch.
Maybe it's just you, bro. Maybe you are the problem boss.
Maybe. Maybe.
No, but I wouldn't want to stay with my boss, yes.
Like the show Silicon Valley, right? You rent a small house, garage somewhere, and then you build in this thing. But except it's on steroids, because it's a Chinese company. You rent a GCB in Bukit Timah.
So we recently had sight of actually, I would say, a document. Would you call it a document? Yeah, yeah. From Singapore Realtors Inc., SRI, right? And it just lists it's actually a circular going out that, they have a few, I quote, right, ready and urgent clients or tenants, right? Okay. With budgets ranging from 50,000 to 250,000.
Per month. Right?
Per month, right? They are mostly from tech companies and family office founders relocating their businesses from China to Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They are looking to move in within a few weeks. That is very urgent there.
When you got to get out of China, you got to get out straight away, right?
Yeah. So. Hey, whoa, we're going there. it's not like the HDB downstairs, then they got the people cut the small little slips down there. It's like, I would love to rent here, blah, blah, blah. This is urgent. And then on networks sending out information around. It's crazy.
Yeah, they list out where they want to live. So it says we are, Cornwall Gardens, Dalvey Road, Fourth Avenue, Leedon Road, King Albert Park, Jervois Hill. The list goes on. Basically all the GCB areas. But so this is one group of tech crypto entrepreneurs coming here. The others are the startup founders and stuff. And these, but and this, these so-called small fries are being chased out. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you think? I also read earlier this week in the Straits Times citing relocation specialist Henley and Partners said that there'll be 3,500 new high net worth Singapore citizens this year, mostly from China.
Yeah, you see? Yeah.
Well, okay, look, let's bring this back to crypto for a minute before we get into the political side of this, because there is one.
it's you, man. But yes, thanks for bringing it back. Yeah. Crypto side of it?
So look, here, I mean, as everyone knows, right, it doesn't matter in terms of job function, right? But in most cases, it doesn't matter where you are in the world. I mean, you can definitely, it's one of those industries where it's the norm to be working remotely, right? And if you think about if you're trading in crypto or you're basically tapping into a global marketplace. So you'll be making the money in USD or whatever, right? And it just makes sense for you to find a cheaper location. So you just make more money, your costs go lower. I think at least for certain types of startups and founders, the huge budgets that I just mentioned, right? I would suspect that a large bulk of that is coming from Chinese family offices. So this is quite a niche group. Whether the thing that actually really kind of makes me kind of think, right, is that after you get around the rules of opening a family office here, right, there are really a couple of types, right? Family offices that are just here, they just open the company here, but have no intention of actually investing anything in Singapore. So they're here really for the tax purposes to set up base, but in terms of actually making any investments here, It's going to be quite limited. And then, you know, there's the other type that, you know, are actually open to kind of making investments or deploying their capital. So there is this group of like, you know, like I would say Chinese family offices right now that, you know, it's actually pumping up the market price for rentals, right? But if you compare that to say the founders of like Web3 companies or startup founders, et cetera, right? They are definitely not as well capitalized. They're a lot more price sensitive. You see? So I think we're talking about two different groups here. In Web3 or crypto, you know, it is, it feels like the country to be in is like a changing narrative, you know, every 6 months or something like that. You know, like it's like the flavor of the month right now is Dubai, right? You see a lot of like entrepreneurs in this space moving to Dubai. Hong Kong faces some of the similar issues that Singapore does in terms of like cost of living. So it's no better there, but let's say, you know, like paying less is your concern.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the interesting part is just yesterday, the Singapore government came out with an interesting new ABSD, right? So additional buyer stamp duty, essentially trying to stamp these kind of big money flowing into the residential market, right? As more and more of these kind of family offices come in, you know, essentially the capital has to go somewhere, right? While they are scouting for where to put money. So yeah, there's a phenomenon. So this whole property thing, you know, it comes one circle, right? It comes one circle to make it more expensive to live in Singapore, which means it essentially takes up more of your capital just to live here, reduces the risk appetite of entrepreneurs and reduces the risk appite of the population. It's very interesting.
But, you know, I heard a conspiracy theory.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for saying it's a conspiracy theory. I love it. I love how we are sprouting conspiracy theory. It's like you're trying to take over Tucker Carlson, right? Like
guy.
It's like, okay, no. Mark is on his way.
But at least I say it's a conspiracy theory first.
Get ready for the soundbite.
Go for
bring it.
It
on.
Okay. Look, I know that, okay, so what there is that like, I think, and I can't cite the exact regulation, okay? But I know that there are certain rules around how, you know, like Chinese family offices, if they want to kind of move their money overseas, right? I don't think the Chinese government is just going to let them kind of like, you know, like do that, you know, without some sort of restrictions as well, especially if they're moving a lot of their funds out of China. One loophole to this is paying for rental and paying for housing. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you put one and one together, right, this is how they are able to come up with like a $250,000 a month budget. It's the logical thing to say, I feel, okay, that like on some level, there are definitely side deals going on. I rent out my property for $250,000 to this guy. Behind the scenes, I pay him back the money, right? And then there is just some sort of like, I would say premium on top of that for that service. So like in a way, like the rental, when I see these kind of prices, right, it almost kind of makes me think that is this another way to launder money, you know, through the back door? Because like on paper, it's clean, right? Like you can just declare it like, hey, look, I'm paying for my housing, you know? So legit transaction, right? But then behind the scenes, right, this is where like actually, I mean, hate to say it, but you know, crypto remittance services actually come into play. You can get the money out that way.
Yeah, yeah. Just saying that's not the house view, you know,
but
it's a conspiracy going on.
This is a conspiracy theory, but I mean, you think about it, right?
No, but like, there is, yeah, I do hurt, and yeah. Okay, we don't go there.
Who's
going to
pay like $250,000 a month for rental, right? And you don't even own the property, dude. I mean, like, even though if it's super minted and everything, right? Like, you know, I mean, there has to be something going on there, like, in my opinion.
I mean, they want to stay in Nassim Road and say hi.
Yeah.
You know, like, morning, you know, like Beverly Hills, like that, right?
It's
like,
so, you know, and here's the thing, right? The same company that is like, the same group of people that's renting that GCP along Clooney, right? I know that they also have, okay, so like, you know, they're these like high-end, like, you know, super high-end lup-sup KTVs in Singapore.
Okay.
I know for a fact that they also have $1 million+ a month credit, right, at one of these KTVs. Okay. So like, you know, I mean, if you put that together, right, I mean, like that just makes a lot of sense, right? It's just another way for them to kind of like, you know, get the money out in certain places.
That sounds like a great topic for Rice, just saying. You know, we'll do that for another day, but yeah. Good stuff, right? So
about crypto companies moving here and there, or like, you know, whether the rental market is a deterrence. I mean, okay, I just saw this week as well, Cake DeFi, you know, one of our crypto platforms over here. They had just opened a huge office in Singapore like a couple months back.
Yeah.
Now they've opened another huge office in KL. So they had an office opening earlier this week. You know, they shared like footage from the new office in KL. So it's not just like a small like sales office over there. It looks like big enough that they're gonna house developers or like their engineers and all that over there. I mean, it makes sense, right? You know, there's no need to have all these high, expensive roles being based here. Might as well move it out to cheaper locations nearby. I mean, this they didn't say any of that, but I mean, this just sounds like, oh, it's going to be the case.
Yeah, KL welcomes all, right? And to be fair, and I think there are quite a lot of articles going around talking about this. Like, even Singaporeans are leaving, mm-hmm. right? And renting out their HDB and going elsewhere to live, right? So it is very, very interesting. But it's a whole big shenanigan that we shouldn't go in today, right? So essentially, yeah, let's see how high rents continue to impede innovation. Is that a fair statement? That's quite a fair statement, right? High rents, you know, impede innovation. And
I mean, you want to be based here, or I mean, also to have access to funding and money, right? So I guess that links to the next topic.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, so I mean, I guess on that topic, right, like, you know, this is, so the backstory to this is that, as we all know, that there are quite a number of like VCs that are focused on Web3 and crypto, and quite a few of them have essentially pulled back from crypto startups and have wrote down a lot of their investments, so that, you know, they've made a huge paper losses on this. And there I would say that there are a couple of reasons for this. I mean, scandals, right, market downturn, regulatory uncertainty. Right, I think more recently and more, like I would say, like more the things that people would be more familiar with would be, you know, like the collapse and bankruptcy of crypto exchange FTX, right? So definitely has helped slow down the pace of funding and reinforce the need for due diligence. So I think it's slowing down a lot of deals. Most recently, we have Tiger Global, right? So they had a $13 billion venture fund, which was launched late in 2021. I think this was, just right smack in the middle of the bull run, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tail end.
You're right. So they just recently disclosed a 20% paper loss, right? So after writing down a few of their investments, so they reduced the value of its holdings in OpenSea, right? BAYC, creator Yuga Labs, MoonPay, and then Sandmountain's WorldCoin. In total, Tiger had invested $126.8 million in OpenSea, right? And that investment is now worth $30 million. So you can imagine that is like a
I tried to control not to laugh every day. Okay, but I failed. Please continue.
So I think that, you know, that's enough said, right? Like if you look at these figures and what's happening in the VC space, I mean, it's not particularly surprising. You know, so I don't know what do you guys think here. I don't really have an opinion on this, to be very honest, you know, with you guys.
I mean, firstly, you don't need to feel bad for these guys, right? They are in the venture space. They know what they're playing with. Right, big wins, big losses. But I think where it's becoming interesting is because, like, with the high rent, you know, with all these restrictions coming in, uncertainty, and then also with the lack of funding or dry out funding, because if a lot of people on the streets are losing money, there will be a new bunch of capital that want to come in and play around, yes. You know, but a lot of the big boys essentially will have to halt, right? And they pause.
Yeah.
Right.
It really interesting, I would say, point of this also is that there are reports that shares, right, in some of these priced crypto companies, right, are actually available at a steep discount on secondary marketplaces, right? So I think just early last month, the block
Jalan Kayu, secondary. It's like, what is secondary market spaces?
Basically, private markets platforms.
But this is one called Birel, BIREL.io. It's a secondary marketplace. There are OpenSea shares trading there at a discount of 51%.
So essentially, is the shares, because they're not listed in traditional stock market,
correct,
they have to
correct
find another way to,
that's right,
to go to share, right? And within correct their immediate network, they are struggling to share. So they put out on this kind of like Jalan Kayu secondary, you know, market thing, you know, to essentially sell off their illiquid shares.
Correct.
That's the idea.
Yeah, but
my goodness.
I mean, the one that you cited, OpenSea, right, at 50-something% discount. We don't need to talk about like the state of NFT marketplaces today. There's so many competitors. They're all the same. They're basically just a listing platform. The one which allows you to churn the most will get you the most users. And then you got to offer like airdrops for users to farm. And like, I mean, it's a race to the bottom, lah. So, I mean, not good investments at during this time, especially. But what is the figure? I mean, you said that the VC funding globally is down. Is something like 80% in the last quarter to hit like 2.something billion, right? In the first quarter.
Yeah, which means 2.4 billion in Q1.
And so this is like down. I mean, so 80% down since 2020. Where that was the bull market. I guess were like 12 billion or something like that.
I think that in fact actually they right now it will probably be the right time for these VCs to be actually making investments, though. Because you know then you would actually be getting companies at like a pared down and like a more accurate market value.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that the other point to be made here is that if you're launching a crypto startup or like, you know, in fact just startup, be prepared to take a very realistic view to the valuation that you want. But like, you know, this doesn't mean that investments are not coming in, they are. It's just yeah.
To your point, actually in that same report it said that crypto venture investing actually increased in February and March.
Yeah.
So yeah.
You know, right now it's discounts. I won't say discounts, but I would say, you know, they would say it's like more accurate market value at this point. Yeah.
Maybe it's a value trap, guys. Maybe it's a value
maybe,
trap.
Maybe. Yeah. Don't catch a falling knife.
Yeah. I'm not sure. There'll be a lot of consolidation. Okay, I think the part that a lot of people don't realize is when the market shrinks like this, right, there will be a lot of consolidation.
Mm.
And when capital concentrates around a few of the big boys that will go out consolidating, they become the big winners, right? Don't expect to buy some weird, obscure, small little thing and then it will rise back up. It's not so simple, right? Mm. So there are a lot of value traps in the falling market. Okay, please. PSA. Yeah. Okay, great. Anybody, anything else to add in the VC crypto space? I don't really feel bad for them. They lose money. Is their problem.
Oh, yeah, I don't. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
It just generally follows trends in the broader tech startup space, right? It's not crypto specific, I guess.
Correct. It's not crypto specific. Yeah.
But let's be clear. Don't go to the secondary market to anyhow buy weird shit. Right? It has to consolidate. Right? We can have that discussion another time. But yes, just a PSA. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe like the third story I want to talk about this week, I guess, okay, it's something a bit more fun, but it seems like meme coin season is back.
Meme coin season is back.
It's rolling. It's rolling.
Yeah. So there's been a mini boom in meme coins recently. I don't know what you guys have seen, but you know, things like Pepe the Frog, right? Wojak. Chad, Flocky Inu. These are like the names of tokens that have been pumping like mad, like, you know, 200 to 500x in like the past couple of weeks, right? Okay. Now, you can just tell by the number of traders on decentralized exchanges. Like, I think on Ethereum's decentralized exchanges, the number of traders grew to the highest number of daily traders since like end of 2021. So yeah, bull market is back, at least within this space. Okay, but what are meme coins, yeah? High
Thanks
demand.
Thanks for answering. What are meme coins, please?
Yeah, I know
go
you're
going to
ask, right? Yeah, high demand, low liquidity tokens. So they all have daily transaction volumes of like 10 to 100 million. Typically, they are not based on any utility at all. They have...
Hence the meme?
Yeah. Usually would have some sort of dog reference.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a crypto thing, right? Like, okay, Flocky Inu. What is Flocky Inu? Well, this token surged like 160% earlier this week after being listed on Binance.us. Why it surged? Because, yeah, you know, people say, yeah, this is increasing its visibility and credibility among the crypto community.
But I guess the interesting thing about Flocky Inu, or even how it came about, it's all started when Elon Musk said that he would name his Shiba Inu Flocky Inu.
Correct.
Meme coin.
Hey, don't be surprised that he's the one behind it.
And then, like, you know, he
he's a pump and dump for sure, right?
No, for sure. So when it's listed, this is it allows all these early holders, adopters, whatever, to dump.
If you go and do an investigative piece, right, you won't be surprised that, you know, maybe Musk is behind it, right? Because you just need to stage a show, right? You stage a show, and then you done. Let's go.
Yeah, I think like two Christmases back, he dressed his dog in a Santa Claus outfit. And because of that, the Flocky token grew by 19,000% in 48 hours.
Yeah.
Okay, you should also keep in mind that, like, you know, while these tokens have, very large, I mean, there's like a high number of these tokens. Like, I think Pepe has like 420 trillion, you know, something like that. The majority are held by very few users. So they want a listing on a major exchange so they can exit.
Yeah, it's a pump and dump. Don't join it. don't join it, right? We can start one if we want. Right?
No,
if
you can easily start. You can easily create your own token, mint it online, and start selling it.
I mean, look, like, guys, if you're an amateur trader, right, or like just like whatever, right? I mean, if you want to buy these tokens for fun, for the lols, right, that's okay, lah. But I don't want to call them professional traders, you know, but the communities out there using, taking advantage of bots, you know, to just take maximum advantage of what's happening right now. And one of them is called Maximum Extractable Value Bots, MEV bots, right? So what they are actually, they use complex algorithms to, you know, to identify and, you know, exploit profitable opportunities in the DeFi ecosystems. And most cases, they extract profits through arbitrage opportunities, okay? Or other kinds of market inefficiencies. So an example of this is like a sandwich attack, right? I don't know, Reggie, whether you've heard this strategy before. But anyway, so typically, right, what happens here is when the MEV bot reads an incoming transaction and then front runs the order, pushing up the price of the asset for the original buyer. So it's essentially, once the price goes up, the buyer then just dumps the token, right? In essence,
this is illegal, just saying.
Yeah, so in essence, if you're trading these things on your own, and you're essentially kind of like going to a gunfight with a knife.
Yeah.
I mean, because basically, if you are a retail trader trying to get in on meme coins, you are the exit liquidity.
Right? Exactly. You are. But yeah, this has been supposedly ruled out in the traditional financial space. It's considered illegal, right? To play this kind of shit, you know. And then there's the whole arbitrage across different exchange, you know, this is a momentum play, you know, to put it in traditional finance languages. It is what it is, right? Even if it's illegal, there will be still people that play around with it, man. These things still exist. I'm very amazed when I see people's wallet and all these weird, weird things are there.
These guys that do the sandwich attacks, they also have very interesting usernames.
They stay at GCB,
No.
But guys, the story here, right, is like, you know, like how like the Peppy the Frog team, right, has seemed to entice users to forsake the dog tokens. You know, in favor of a frog, dude. Like, I mean,
right. I cannot.
Bro, guys, think about this. Just think about this number, okay? In the past 3 days, right? The Peppy the Frog token, right? The meme coin, right, has risen over 21,000%. You know, trading volumes on Uniswap is like 30 million plus.
Wow,
you know, I
it became the sixth largest meme coin, like out of nowhere, lah. Yeah.
And then to be clear, you know, after learning about this whole crypto thing, right, I have moved away from this idea of like everything must have utility, must have value, must all that, right? It is about your investing methodology. If you can consistently hit this kind of thing, right, that means you got a system, right? That means if you can consistently hit it, then you got a system, you got to teach me, right? I will not discount the very fact that if you can keep spotting these things, I think that's an interesting discussion too.
No, I agree.
Okay, but here's another thing, right? On why you will never win. Mm. So there was a story that came out also about Pepe, yeah? So some guy bought $27 of Pepe, and then on paper, the value grew to $1 million within a couple of days since its launch. Okay, so now he so-called has $1 million on his hands, but you know, he's never going to get this million because it's going to be impossible to cash this out.
Why?
Okay, because there's low demand, that's one. And the price will just crater once, you know, such a volume goes onto the market. So yeah, cashing out and liquidating is another matter. It'll take years to actually see any of these profits.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's this analyst, I can't even pronounce his name. Gregors Dords is his name.
Oh yeah, actually, yeah, it says here, according to this analyst, it'll take 46,200 years to liquidate investors' Pepe tokens.
Shit.
Because okay, the top 100 holders for about 45% of the entire supply, and like I said, the supply is like 420 trillion. So yeah, that's a meme coin market for you. Okay, it's fun.
So the house view is don't.
Yeah, but I mean, it's nice, right? Like that these narratives are part of the crypto ecosystem.
I'm not sure if it's nice.
I mean.
Gambling is a use case too, FYI.
No. Exactly. And I mean, meme coins, they also make crypto fun and accessible.
Dave, you actually said that.
I mean, I'm not participating in this, but like the memes are funny. The stories are great that come out of this space. But
let's make the frog the main new thing.
So the story, in summary, the frog is now mightier than the dog.
Yes.
Oh my god. Crazy, crazy.
Yeah.
we do know someone that retired off Shiba coin, right?
We did. Yeah, we actually do know someone that retired off the Doge or Shiba?
Shiba.
Oh, like Shiba. Okay, shit. Yeah. I mean, anyway, yeah, we do know people who have actually retired off these tokens. So like I mean, whatever.
He managed to liquidate it, right?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Quit his cushy government job as well. Yep. Now is an angel investor.
Yeah.
What does he know? Okay, never mind.
To be fair to him, he's into dogs. He showed us his phone and it was a Shiba on it, his own.
Oh, okay.
He's like, yeah, this guy made me rich.
Dude. So guy made money from a Shiba coin and then quit the government job and then now is an angel investor going around sprouting his ideas. Yeah. I have seen so many of those like angel investors, right? And I'm like, you don't know how to invest. You are just lucky. But anyway, yes. Anyway, we don't go there. We should get him on the show.
It's better to be lucky than smart, guys.
Yeah.
We can get him on the show, right?
Yeah,
we can get him on the show. Yeah, we can.
Lucky gives you that one-off, la. If you're smart, it's a consistent game, la. But that's a different discussion, la.
The thing is that having the self-awareness to realize that you're lucky and not smart, that is key.
Yes, exactly. That's the part. That so he shouldn't be angel investing. Correct. He should be traveling around.
He is a smart guy. He's a smart guy. Okay, so like, he's definitely a smart guy. But I'm just saying that generally, la, you know, like if you're self-aware that you're lucky and not smart, right? Then you won't do anything stupid, lah. That's
great last line, right? Like finally we come back to reality. No conspiracy theory, yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, great. Yeah. Any last things to add by anyone this week, you know, this week of crypto?
No, I think I think we should end on a strong note, man. Like, yes. You know, like how like, yeah, the frogs are taking over the world now. Yeah.
Okay, thank you guys. Love it. And check out blockhead.co and their meme TikTok page. Are you still putting up new meme TikTok videos?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
great. Yeah. Cohen needs to do more of that, right? So, yeah. Okay. We'll see you guys next week. Take care, guys. Bye. All right,
see you.
Hey, Coconuts. So, yes, I hope you enjoy this new show that we're building together with the team at Blockhead. And the goal is very clear, right? We're not here to shill any token or be a cheerleader for any project. But we feel that there's a lot of development that's going on in this space that we could cover and continue to be a little bit smarter as investors. I mean, eventually, you tune in every week to a financial podcast network so that you can be smarter with your investments. And if it so happens, this is something that you're looking at, the crypto space, Web3, Metaverse, all these kind of stuff, then that is where we're trying to cover, but not from the angle of like, this is good, that is bad, but really trying to see it from like, what is happening, how is it developing, and I hope you find this useful and interesting, right? So if you want to continue to get more coverage around the crypto space, check out blockhead.co, and then we will see you next week.